Thanks for the update, Toby. The Caps have made the announcement, as Toby just told you, that Alex Ovechkin will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in his leg. The fibula fractured means that he will not play for at least 1 month. So the Russian machine, for the first time in his career, minimally broke, but he will be back on the ice in no time. If you know Alex Ovechkin, you bet on the under on that 4 to 6 week recovery. Before we get back to Ovechkin, take people's calls on how they feel about him coming back and what it means for the team in the short term, and maybe more importantly to a lot of people, him trying to chase down Wayne Gretzky. A quick look at the injury report for the Commanders and the Cowboys, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that CeeDee Lamb, who was limited yesterday on the Cowboys injury report, did not practice at all today? He's going in the wrong direction.
Let him rest up.
Thursday, man.
Yeah.
You go to limited on Wednesday to not practicing on Thursday. That is generally a sign that there's a decent chance he may be out on Sunday. We'll see what happens on the injury report tomorrow. But I can't state this enough. They don't have good players on offense. They don't have weapons. They don't have anybody that scares you. CeeDee Lamb is their best football player by far. If he can't play, then a 10.5-point line is going to grow another half point probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's scary. He's really good. There is no one in this league really that can cover that guy, right? I mean, even as they're bad, even as they're scuffling, even as they're barely making any forward progress, he's still running free. He's still making catches. He's still going to get his. He's still a first-round fantasy draft pick. Even as the rest is crumbling down, that guy's still unbelievably good.
Pretty good injury report as far as Washington goes. Now, unfortunately, added to the injury report today as limited was Dante Fowler, who's the leading sack artist on this team. Noah Igbinoghene with a thumb was limited. Austin Seibert's back to practicing some with the right hip. He was limited again today. And then Fowler went from full go to limited. But the only players that didn't practice are Mike Davis, who has a personal reason to be out, not even injured. Cleveland Farrell, who they listed as at least partially resting, not just hurt, but they put knee plus rest. So I would say the knee is a factor. And then Marshawn Lattimore with the hamstring, which we started the show talking about the fact that this is lingering longer than we expected. But really, other than Lattimore, who has never played for this team, and Fowler being added to the list, that's about as good an update in Week 12 as you can ask for before a big division game.
Seriously. And they're beaten up. Right, they were at least, you know, going, you know, 12 straight weeks of NFL football. Then you add in, I guess it was 11. Then the short week. Then you think of all the preseason. Then you think of all the training camp and the mini camps. All the grind. They've basically been going every week since what, July, August, etc. So this mini break, even though it's not a ton, you had to go through it a little bit extra effort just to get to it. But you get maybe some time to get right. And then of course you're sprinting for a couple of weeks here until the bye. So they're setting up as good as you could ask for reasonably for a football team. I know they're missing John Allen. That's done for the year. That already happened. That Band-Aid got ripped off. But for the most part, at this stage, it could look a lot worse.
All right, let's get to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. People want to weigh in on the big news of the afternoon. The Caps have made it official. Alex Ovechkin going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. That could be about 16 games. 16 games for them takes you up to their Christmas break, which is on December 28th at Toronto. They come back. So they go through the holiday break on the back end of those 16 games, and then they've got the Leafs basically right before the start of the new year. That would be ideal to me. That would be between 5 and 6 weeks if he were to come back right at the end of the calendar year into January. Another note, and this was a good point, a buddy of mine just texted me, you know, December's when they have the majority of their back-to-backs. It gets really, really busy before the break in the NHL because they give, you know, the holiday off. But that's a lot of back-to-back games. They crowbar a lot of games into December there in a short time. Not the worst thing in the world, maybe, to have younger legs. I'm not saying you would rather not have Ovechkin in any way, but if you're going to rely upon Mareshnichenko, who's 20, and LaPierre, who's barely old enough to drink, you know, the month where you're playing a lot of games in short order and younger legs might help you more than older legs might not be the worst time to do it.
That's a sharp point, by the way. So looking at the schedule here, by my quick and dirty count, it's like, what, 17 games in the month of December, and I'm casually noting one back-to-back, two back-to-backs, you know, two games in 3 days, a third back-to-back, a fourth back-to-back. There's a lot of those, and it's all right there. The NHL schedule is always mystifying and frustrating to me for a number of reasons. They'll have, like, a month and a half off, numbers approximate, in the first few weeks of the season, and then they have to cram it in there. I know sometimes it's a multi-purpose arena and basketball and other things take precedence, but whatever. It's still frustrating to me that this is that's not more evenly spread out. But, yeah, there's a sprint in kind of this end of the month of November into end of December before it kind of gets back to the normal grind and pace again.
So if it works out that way, that he's back around the start of the year, we're talking about maybe 16, 17 games, which is bad and not what you want when he's the leading goal scorer and one of the best players in hockey at the moment on the best team in the East. But, man, it could have been a lot worse.
Yes, sir.
If it works out that way, that the recovery goes efficiently and he's back around January 1. One more thing I want to say, and maybe I'm just talking myself into this being okay because I'm a big fat mark. There is something to this team's age every year in the playoffs. When they get in and they are out of gas, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
This might not be a terrible thing from a playoff standpoint to have Alex Ovechkin at what is not quite the midway point of the season, but basically the quarter pole, taking a month and a half off.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it would be. If you're looking at early January, call it before January 10th,
yep,
as a return time, that's right past the quote-unquote midpoint of the season. Terms
right.
of number of games played.
But I just mean starting right now,
exactly,
you're
yeah.
like you're a quarter of the way through and you're going, Ovi, go put your feet up. Now he's coming back from a pretty serious thing,
sure,
right? He's got a broken bone. So it's not like it's just rest. But this will be the first time, if and when, if they continue this pace and they don't completely fall apart here, where they will have made the playoffs in many years where Ovi hasn't just logged 79 to 82 mm-hmm. games to help get
yeah.
him there.
John Carlson playing, you know, 28 minutes a night. Point taken. Yeah. I mean, they're still a veteran bunch. They've had an influx of younger talent, certainly, but it's still the core.
I'm already excited about
veteran.
That
yeah.
part. Like, come playoff time, this
yeah.
is the youngest, this is the freshest legs, you know, the speediest they've been. And maybe Ovi, if he comes back in early January with a little less mileage on the tires, has a little more of a run in him. At least that's what I'll tell myself. All right, let's go to the phone, see what people think. John's in Herndon on Grant and Danny. What's up, John? How are you?
Am I on? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You are. What's up, dude?
Just want to say, you know, it's great for hockey that he's going to be only 4 to 6 weeks. And I agree with what I think you said, Danny, that the scoring record is a record for time immemorial. Everyone will Gretzky. Everybody will remember the great Gretzky. And Ovechkin, you know, he's his own legend. So it's good news for the Capitals. It's good news for the for hockey. And if I might, I just want to deviate just a little and say, I love you guys. Only you guys could have a conversation about FaceTiming in a bathroom.
Thank you. And then pivot right back to Obi's fibula. Right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Clary's bathroom break to Obi's fibula.
Into the fibula.
By the way, it's 26 goals. That's it. Between Gretzky and Ovi because of how insane
yeah.
he was playing. 15 goals in 18 games, dude. He was on a 68-goal pace. So think about this. Like, he could have easily had 3 or 4 goals right now.
Yeah.
18 games into the season. Like, he started off last year pretty slow. I think he was at 5 or 6 goals.
We're kind of doing, okay, so he plays 2.5 more seasons, and,
right.
and then what if he...
But he basically has to come back over the last couple months of the year, Danny. He's got a... Let's say he doesn't... Let's say he scores at a pace that... is similar to, like, you know, Taylor Radish. And he just goes out and scores another 9 goals the rest of the way or whatever because the fibula's barking and he's just not the same and he's on a cold stretch. Okay.
He's 17 shy.
He's still going to go into next year, and if he scores 20 goals, he gets the record.
Hear me out. Let's say he plays after he comes back, right? And, you know, it'll take him sea legs underneath him, et cetera, right?
He'll just come back and get a Hattie on the first
night. He'll do something stupid like
you
that.
You know he will.
Let's say the last 41 games. What if he does it?
I mean, wait, just
but hold on. No one's saying anything. But what if he does it? What if you're looking ahead at the old schedule, right? And you are counting ahead, and you're doing some math, and all of a sudden he has like a little two spot in Nashville. Then he has like a goal and an empty netter in Detroit, and you're doing the math, and it's April the 15th at New York Islanders at Pittsburgh to close out the season, and he's 3 goals shy.
Ooh.
Like, are you positive he's not doing it? Are you positive he's not going to score 26 more goals this year? How sure are you?
Not sure enough to miss
sure.
those trips.
Yeah.
I might be making a couple road trips.
Yin's going up to Pittsburgh in that.
At 39 years old, coming off of a fractured leg, I'm just going to assume he's not going to be on a 50-goal pace.
Bet against that man at your own peril. This is my axiom about Alex Ovechkin. I have looked like a buffoon enough times where I ain't doing it no more. I am not going to say he can't do something. That's where I'm at on it.
I get it. We've never seen him come back from an injury like this, but
sure.
I think you're onto something. Jay's in Vienna on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jay? How are you?
I am devastated, but I get it. I was planning a celebration for the record, you know, sometime in January or February at this pace. But, you know, I also saw the replay several times, and what I saw was McBain's skate cutting across his shin. I'm assuming that's where the fibula is, but just devastated. But I'm hopeful he'll come back and get it this year.
Appreciate you. So just looking at pictures, I'm not a doctor, but I'll play one on the radio for a second. The shin bone in the front, that like when you run into your bed that hurts so bad, that's called the tibia. And then the fibula is like if you're looking at a skeleton, essentially like the bone that's kind of in the back. Because it's not like one leg bone, you know what I mean, Danny?
Yep.
You've got that front bone that goes down the shin. So if you're touching the front of your leg right now, that's the tibia. And then you can't feel it if you're a big feller like me. But there's another bone in the back somewhere there that's inside of all that muscle and fat. That's your fibula. And that's the one that he broke. I don't know which one would have been better. I'd assume that's the better one to break. But
if you're going to break one, maybe that's the right one?
I don't know. That's where I leave you as Dr. Paulson. But we will get somebody on who knows these kind of things on tomorrow's show to educate us. Let's go to Paul in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Paul?
Man, I feel like this is a sports show, so I can say I feel like I messed up with my girlfriend. And when I told her what happened, she said, "You are a mess, but guess what? We're going to go to therapy." And I feel good about that because I thought she was going to leave me because at the end of the day, that's good news. That's not terrible news. That's good news.
Right.
He might be injured, but he's coming back. And this team has already shown us last year that they can win for a small period of time without him, right? So, I mean, that's how I feel right now. When y'all said that, I was saying to myself, like, oh, man, I still got a shot, baby. I still got a shot, you know? So, hey, that's what I feel like. I felt like my girlfriend caught me. But she said, "You know what? I done put enough work in where we ain't going to just let you go. We're going to go to therapy."
You know what I love about that analogy?
I love that. That's so funny, by the way.
Is it's perfect because if you just start from zero and find out you're going to therapy with your girlfriend or whatever, that's not a good thing.
That's not great, fun.
But if you find out the context is that the prologue is that you really screwed up and she could have left you and you don't want her to leave you. And she chose therapy. Gigantic win.
That's a huge win.
If you would have told me the moment he scored his last goal that he scored before the injury, Ovi's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with an injury, I would have broken everything around me. But today when I find out officially that it's 4 to 6 weeks, it's a fracture to a bone and it's not an Achilles or an ACL or anything like that, win. I'll take it. It's all about perspective, right?
100%.
I would sign up for that.
That's right now. Yeah, I've been texting with a bunch of different buddies about this who are obviously interested in it all across the country. And I was going back and forth with my one buddy, and I'm like, I'm telling you, he's going to be out for the season. He's like, based on what? I was like, this cone of silence that they're in, they're trying to figure out a PR messaging strategy, and they're waiting days to do it. And it's instead of just coming out and saying, I had this whole thing I was worked up in my mind. Right, where they're going to try to pretend that he's coming back, and there's no way that he is because they don't want people to tune out. I had this whole like tinfoil hat thing in my brain. Nope, it's just a regular old broken bottom part of the leg, and I've never been so happy to hear a message like that. I think you said it very well. I've never been so pleased to hear that the star player, the greatest athlete in the city's history, the guy that's going to break the unbreakable record, has a broken leg. I'm sitting here going, "All right, neato. That's it." Weird, man.
Our guy Toby Altizer, who's been providing updates today on the Fan, just texted me this, and this is a really good point. He mentioned when Terrell Owens, if you remember, played in the Super Bowl after breaking his fibula and having a torn ligament in his ankle. And the reason he was able to is because that's not the like the load-bearing bone. That's the tibia. So, yeah, of the two bones, I guess that is the one, if as an athlete, that you'd rather have an issue with. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church on Grant and Danny. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thanks again for taking my call. I appreciate it. I will see you at the Casual Pint tomorrow. Good to have
Attaboy.
You guys in
yes,
town.
Yes, man.
Heck yes. Shout out to my boy Butters in Arizona who's listening. And the most important thing is the Russian machine fractures. He never breaks. Mm. You need to appreciate that. I never thought I'd be smiling to hear that somebody's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks like you guys are saying. It's just, it really is something huge. It's something that you won't re-injure. You'll come back from. And that's really what I got.
Love
Thanks,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah, appreciate
see you tomorrow.
It.
If you guys want to come out and take part in or see the show tomorrow, we look forward to meeting listeners. We're going to be back in Virginia at Falls Church at the Casual Pint, live from 2 to 6:30. Grant and Danny on the road tomorrow. I'm sure there will be some relieved Caps fans having a beverage or two with their pals tomorrow to discuss Ovechkin.
It'd be just fine and dandy. We can talk about that, talk about some foosball, and everything in between. You got an update on the Hayfield story? We want it, man. We want all the smoke.
Do we want the smoke?
Not necessarily the smoke, but just that intense conversation. I'm telling you, it has crossed over to casual parents. Like, again, this is usually my barometer. People are not that plugged in. They're living their lives. They're dropping their kids off. Three different people this morning asked me about that Hayfield story. Three.
Well, it's everywhere. I mean, that was why I wanted to talk about it so much. Twofold. I guess one, I think it's just an important thing in our community that potentially high school athletics is about to change forever if we allow it to and want it to. And then secondly, what do? We broadcast, we don't narrowcast. And it sounds silly to talk about one high school team, but it's not really about one high school team. Everyone's played high school sports or has kids that have or have kids that will or has seen a movie about, right? Like there is a relatability to that. We all went to high school or will. And everyone, I think, in some way can relate to right and wrong at the high school level. And there's different sides of you know, what people perceive as right and wrong, and it's just fascinating. It's a really good conversation, so I'm glad we've been able to talk about it. You ready for Thursday Night Football tonight? We've got the 8-2 Steelers and the 2-8 Browns. Do you think we get a game, or is this just going to be no fun at all?
I feel like this is very AFC Northy on a Thursday. The Steelers are a better team. That's great analysis, by the way. I'll break it down for you hard. But you know, weird stuff happens, right? It's Thursday night. It seems like it's always the under, unless it's like 700 points get scored, and then of course it's the over. I just feel like because it's a divisional matchup, there's snow, it's wet there. I just think it's going to be a little bit of a rock fight.
Is it snowing in Cleveland
tonight?
Yeah,
it's snowing.
Oh,
so
I love that.
I think it stopped snowing, but the snow has snowed.
Well, the aesthetics of a weather game, a snow game, are fun for me, and I know what you're saying. You like indoor football. I just like the option of indoor football. But while we have outdoor football, give me some snow games. I think the line right now on FanDuel is 3.5 points. That makes me think it's going to be a decent football game. You got low-scoring teams that basically want to play defense and run the football. Division, as you said, slugfest. 3.5-point line. Thursday over a Sunday also makes me think short week. Everybody's battered and bruised and banged up. Probably not going to be at your best in terms of the big chunk plays and the explosives. So I could actually see this being a little tighter. And let's not forget either, the Browns' 2-8 record is slightly deceiving because they're more capable throwing the football now and moving the football than they were earlier in the year going to Jameis Winston.
That is true. Now, but again, how limited are things because of the weather? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be actively snowing or if it's just wet. And how limited is he going to be because Pittsburgh invites you to take chances? They would love for you to start forcing balls into tight windows and letting T.J. Watt and company eat with some turnovers and like. Because Jameis Winston is not scared of that turnover. He ain't scared.
Steelers get to 9-2 this evening, very likely. Your front runners in the AFC North. If they do, by the way, they'll be two full games ahead of the Baltimore Ravens in that division.
Man, they deserve so much credit.
I mean, Mike Tomlin's the best.
Yeah.
How many people are better at that guy? I always used to say this about Gary Williams at Maryland. You give Gary five guys and you give every other coach in America the same five guys. Gary Williams will get more out of those guys than almost anybody.
Amen to the amen. Yep.
I think the same thing about Tomlin. And he is a rare guy, right? Because I would never hire a defensive-minded coach. But he is the apex predator when it comes to culture building, hat on a hat, football cowboys. He's a leader of men. Dudes love him. It's just as good a program-defining presence as you're going to find in the league. The problem is, at the same time, they haven't won anything meaningful in forever because he can't get the offensive situation sorted out. And hopefully, the quarterback position for them is better into the playoffs with Wilson. But they've had awful quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's hired terribly at offensive coordinator. So as good as he is and as amazing a coach as he is, I also blame him for a good portion of the fact that they haven't won anything in the playoffs in years and years and years. Still love the guy, but that's part of the problem with the defensive-minded philosophy, in my opinion.
Could be chicken or the egg, though. Like, what would you do with Kenny Pickett? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Since post-Roethlisberger, they haven't picked players great either on that side of the ball. And, you know, he's been saddled with bad quarterbacking. Like, there's the idea that you haven't gone under 500 with Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields having started the majority of your games, with Mason Rudolph starting the majority of your games 1 year in 2019, you're not subject to the ups and downs of the rest of us. Like, if that happened to the Giants, they'd go 4-13. If it happened to Dallas, they'd go 5-12. Happened to us, we did it. We were 4-13. He's incredible, but I'm with you. Like, there are trade-offs to that, right? Where he keeps his buddy, who's the OC, for way too long, just because that guy shows up to meetings on time or whatever and speaks an authoritative voice. But yeah, I'm getting sidetracked here. But they're so well coached. Mike Tomlin should be in charge of stuff. Put that guy in charge of things. That's my view about him.
It is time for a Capitals power play.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We've been talking about it for the last hour. The Caps announced that Alex Ovechkin is not only out tonight, but for 4 to 6 weeks, officially a fracture to his left fibula. The Caps have recalled Ivan Marushnichenko, their very talented young forward. He will not play tonight. Hendrix Lapierre back in the lineup. He was sent down to the minors a couple of weeks ago to make room for Lars Eller. Lapierre will be on the third line. They will bump up Andrew Mangiapane to the top line this evening. Capitals at home, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Avs, Danny.
High-scoring game is when Colorado's involved. Nathan MacKinnon leads the league in assists and points. But Colorado, one thing they love doing, Graham, is giving up goals. They have given up the fourth most goals in the NHL. So even without Ovechkin, hopefully the Caps can light the lamp a little bit.
Tomorrow, Falls Church, the Casual Pint, a Football Friday and a Field Trip Friday on G&D. We'll cover the Commanders and the Cowboys from all angles. We'll break down Thursday Night Football, look ahead to Week 12 in the NFL. Plus, as I said, we'll get a doctor on to discuss the Ovechkin recovery that lies ahead as well. If you are a hockey fan listening and you want to watch your boy tonight, I got a Caps Altcast, Manning Cast style on the couch with Brent Johnson and Tarik El-Bashir on the Monumental Sports Network. Starts at 7 p.m. You can watch us over there. Danny, go have yourself an evening, buddy.
You got it, my friend. We got some basketball practice tonight, and I've got both boys, so we're either going to go to 7-Eleven during practice, or we're going to hang out and disrupt the practice by making noise on the side. It depends on what the little guy wants to do.
I love it. For Danny and for our producers behind the scenes, Darius and Ryan, who I believe is not in the bathroom right now. G&D,
you can FaceTime him to find out.
We'll be back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.